The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
And on it. Some girls talk to the boys in the chat room. My girls talk to the boys in the back room. Hit me up.
Welcome everyone to the next installment of Drag is the New Spandex. My name is Oral. I'm your host. Yay me! Back by popular demand. With us today, as usual, even though this is only the second episode, we have Pat, aka Bearskin Rug.
What's going on?
And we have Brian. And today, we have a very special guest, because all of our guests are very special. We have Beyonce Bear. Welcome to the show.
Hey, gummy bears. How are you doing?
Ooh, I like that.
Yes.
I really like that. See, I think that every icon, every drag queen should have a special, like, thing that they call their fans. Like, for example, Azalea Banks totally calls everyone mermaids. So I'm just like, you know what? I like gummy bears. That's super sweet. Where'd you get it from?
Actually, my drag sister, Lovely Lady Lips, calls all of her fans her lipsticks. And so we were sitting there one day, and I was just like, well, I want a name. And we just looked at each other, and I was just like, gummy bears. They're soft, chewy, they melt in your mouth, and they taste real good.
Have you tasted a lot of your gummy bears?
Just one. My biggest fan. That's my cubby at home.
Aww.
Yeah.
Way to just throw, I got a man in my face. Jesus.
Well, I'll hide my ring and all, you know.
Oh, excuse me. Girl, is that 18 or 24?
Well, actually, it's stainless steel, but it has black diamonds.
Ooh.
So, you know.
Okay, well, you know, tell us about who you are as a performer.
As a performer, who I am, you know, I just like the shock factor of just, if you saw me from behind, you'd be like, okay, there's, you know, another drag queen, and there's, you know, another performer, entertainer, and then I turn around and I have this beard, you know, and it's just that shock factor, that total, excuse my French, but that total gender fuck. You know, I just really like to shock all of my fans and everybody that I'm entertaining, all the way from the facial hair to props that I've used that I actually one time was told that I couldn't do a routine that I've done before because I actually offended somebody, like, big time. Yeah.
What?
Santa Claus was raping me on the stage. So it was during a Christmas performance.
Yeah. So what is, we should talk about this, because you're the second person on the show.
Okay.
First one was Chantel, a pageant queen. I would dare say you don't consider yourself a pageant queen.
No.
Your kind of drag I've heard called skag drag.
Skag drag.
Exactly. So would you talk a little bit about just kind of that, so our audience doesn't necessarily know anything about drag culture.
Sure. Skag drag. Skag drag, if you actually Google it and look it up, it's in the Urban Dictionary, of basically somebody that wants to entertain or perform, but they don't want to hide their masculinity. You know, I mean, I'm a big guy, and I don't have any shame in that. And I actually, when I first started doing drag, I shaved, and I shaved my face, and I looked like my mother. And not that that's a bad thing at all, you know, but
some men would strive.
Exactly. But being from New York, and you know, I put on that big wig and the fabulous outfit. I was like, oh, my God, this is my mother back in the 80s, you know. And so I was just like, I really, and plus also, whenever I would go home, Lance, that's my other half, he just was just like, I can't look at you. You look like you should be driving around in a white van with dark out windows with candy and saying, here come the little kids, you know. I looked like a little child molester. But I was just like, well, I want to keep doing drag, but I don't want to shave anymore. And I was
Your beard
just,
is very nice.
Thank you. I keep it trimmed. I actually have to shave and, you know, keep it all cleaned up and stuff like that. But going from that, I was just like, well, screw it. My name is Beyonce. And
which is very witty.
Thank you. Well, you know, Beyonce is my favorite artist. Absolutely love her, even though she just cut off all of her hair. But
you don't like the pixie cut?
I love it, but I just still like when she can flip her hair around, you know, like a lot of other stuff.
So. I mean, that's what wigs are for.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, that's probably how long her hair was without the extensions anyways. But I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do my drag with my beard. And then I was just like, well, this is scat drag because I'm not hiding my masculinity. So,
well, question. Let's reel it back a little. So growing up, did you always know that you wanted to do drag? I mean, I'm not going to ask, right. Did you always know you were gay? Because deep down inside, I think we all know.
We all know. We all know.
But like, was drag something that you were slowly inching towards and striving towards? Or was it like, hey, that looks like fun one day?
It's actually funny that you ask that. My mom would go out, and my sister, who's 6 years older than me, would watch me, you know, because I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And whenever she would leave the house, I would go into the
child care ever. Exactly, watch your brother.
Exactly, right? And, you know, go watch your brother while I go have some cocktails. You know, my mother gets the mother of award to you. Yeah. We would sit there, and I would sneak into my mom's room, and I'd put on her heels and her skirt and her, and I actually have her red leather jacket from back in the day that I wear during performances that I used to put on. And, you know, back in the 80s, it was when, like, the roach clips with the feathers were on it. I used to put those all in my hair. And I would go in the bathroom, I'd do my face, and I would come out, and I would perform for my sister and her boyfriend and her best friend and all that. And I always had fun doing it. And then, you know, as I got older, every time I would go to the clubs, and even when I was like 16 and 17, I look older than I am, I was able to sneak in. Mm-hmm. I was just fascinated watching drag queens and watching performers. I always wanted to. And for a while, the relationship I was in, he didn't like that. He was just like, I don't want to be with a drag queen. And so I suppressed it.
Boo hiss.
Yes, yes.
Boo
yes.
Hiss.
He's a great guy. He is a great guy. But he was just like, you know, he's like, I want, because he thought I was going to have to shave. And at that time, I was just like, I'd have to shave, you know? And he was just like, I want a guy with a beard. And, you know, I understood. So I suppressed it, you know, and went to therapy and sat there and cried as I, you know, polished my nails in therapy and stuff. But, I just, then finally, I was just like, fuck it, I'm doing this. I have a potty mouth, by the way, sorry.
No, that's fine.
This is not necessarily an all-ages show.
So. No. Okay. We will slap an explicit tag on anything just to make sure. We could be talking about, like, I don't know, like, Wishbone, the old, like, PBS series. And I'm just like, I don't know, do we cuss? I don't know, Pat, I don't know. Just slap an explicit tag.
Exactly.
So you're originally from New York?
I'm originally from New York.
Okay. Now, you don't have to give the exact year.
Okay.
But when you started going to clubs, was it, like, pre-Giuliani? Was it like Koch? Was it like old, gritty New York?
Well, actually, when I started going to clubs is when I first moved down here.
Okay.
When I was younger.
Okay.
And then I moved back to New York, and then I moved back here. So I kind of came back and forth. But when I lived in New York, it was pre-Giuliani.
Okay.
It was definitely, yeah. But I never went out. I was way too young. I was only 13, 14. So.
No, because I'd be interested into seeing, like, what your mindset was, because, you know, drag is never uniform, and it's very regional. Mm-hmm. Even if you go from, like, Orlando to Fort Lauderdale, it's completely and drastically different.
Right.
But you doing drag now, can you see that, or, like, talk about the differences that you see? Because New York has, like, a plethora of scenes. Some of it's comedy, some of it's straight-up pageant.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of go into that a little?
Well, basically, like, I've only ever performed, if you're asking, like, where I've performed and what I've seen.
Okay.
I've only ever performed in Central Florida. I've never been out. But going out into other states and seeing different people perform, regionally, the more north you get, the raunchier it gets. Honestly, I've been in the Carolinas, I've been in New York, I've been in Jersey, I've been in Connecticut, seeing people perform, and the further up north I got, the raunchier it got, and I was just like, I'm loving these bitches, you know? And you come on down to the South and it gets more pageant, pretty, you know, more very tailored. And I love it all, you know, because everybody has their own shtick on what they're doing. And I think that in the drag community as a whole, everybody respects everybody, even though there's a lot of shade out there and there's a lot of...
which we will get to later.
Which we'll get
to.
No worries. Yes. There's a lot of, you know, well, look at what that bitch is doing and so forth. I think there's still a lot of respect for each other because it takes a lot to throw a wig on, throw some makeup on, and put yourself together and look professional. But regionally, I would definitely say the more north you get, it definitely gets a little bit raunchier. It's like they have no holds bar.
I was just thinking that... Like, your drag is very different from what people maybe are used to when they go to, like, a Hamburger Mary's or they go to, like, their local, like, bar, whether it's, like, a small-town gay bar or, you know, like, a mainstream, like, top 40s hit type of place. And so, like, how do you think you've acclimated to drag as a whole? Has there been some, like, tension, conflict?
Oh, yeah. I was told by several other entertainers, you know, you need to shave. If you're going to do this, you have to shave. And I was just like, no. I really, like, that is the biggest thing is because I have a beard. And if you actually look, there's one based out of Canada, Face Self, messaged me on Facebook and is like, I absolutely adore you. And then I got to looking at her pictures and I was just like, oh my God, you are amazing and fabulous, you know? So there's a whole other community out there, but it's kind of like we're at the bottom of the barrel in the sense of, because I think people, especially with that certain little show that's out there, people are seeing more fierce, you know, sickening fish drag. And we are rising because I'm seeing a lot more people. If you go on YouTube and you put it in or Google, you see a lot more people doing drag with beards. And I think it's coming a little bit more acceptable.
Okay.
So,
you know, it's funny you say that because I think for a lot of people, their, I don't want to say first exposure, but their constant exposure to drag is Drag Race. And while Drag Race, I think, does a pretty good job of trying to give you a wide variety of different queens and each one having strengths and weaknesses, at the end of the day, like, they want you to look a certain way. And if you don't achieve that aesthetic, you're pork chop.
Exactly.
Penetration.
Right.
Like, it's, and you know, that's not to knock any of them because they're all great in their own right. But if you don't fit that mold, you know, I see you getting chopped. And you know, it's always interesting to me. I'm going to take it to our other podcast, Flame On, because we're going to be talking about this big comic book event called Inhumanity, where people who thought they were normal humans are affected by this mist that changes them into like these inhuman people. They're like a race of blah 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 blah. And so in the Marvel universe, you have mutants who are this minority, and they have always been marginalized. And now you have this new minority that's up and coming, and you know, they're not necessarily going to get along. And I always found that really odd because, you know, when you do drag, drag is a niche of a niche of a, like a sliver of a niche of the gay community because not like everyone does it. I'd say maybe like 20% or even more because, I mean, whatever, it's Halloween. Like, we'll dress up and drag like once or twice.
Right.
But for you to do it as like a consistent thing, whether it be your primary source of income or something you do on the side, is very, very slim. And and to see that the battle lines sometimes are still drawn and very deep is, I wouldn't necessarily say troubling, or maybe a little disheartening, especially for people who may want to get into drag and they're like, oh, you know, well, welcome to the world of drag. In your first, choose which side. Choose now or die.
Right.
So,
well, real quick, just going back to kind of the Drag Race thing. Yeah, they do try to show the different pieces of and different kind of, you know, the comedy queens, the pageant queens and all that stuff. But one of the things that I find troubling about it, and especially because we're talking about going from, like, the, you know, how the doing a skag drag is such a, like, almost looked down, well, it is looked down upon by these other queens. If I find it troubling that you have all this individuality in the performances that you guys do, or that these queens, when they first enter the show, have these crazy personas, but then in order to find success, look how mainstream and how into a mold they come out.
Exactly.
Jinx Monsoon, the most recent winner, she was the crazy, you know, like, quirky queen. Mm-hmm. And then she comes out of the show and she's, you know, got the blonde wigs and has the same almost cookie cutter look. Pandora Box the same way. I mean, I know that,
well,
that's Pandora's not there.
Always looked like that, and then, like, that was like the face, but the voice is what you were gravitated to, like, you gravitated towards.
I don't know. Like, in seeing her on the show and going back, because I kind of watched, I never really watched it as it was happening. I watched All Stars and then went back and watched the first four seasons pretty much from beginning to end straight through. Mm-hmm. So seeing them on these shows, I mean, I'm not saying that all of them, but kind of the quirky ones end up Sharon Needles. I know her performances are still kind of this crazy off the wall thing. You know, I've seen some of her stuff when she's done it live, but from a looks perspective,
it's all the same.
You end up going into this mold. Every so often you do this kind of wacky, crazy thing. Right. But then when you're trying to get yourself out there and you're trying to get more, you know, more publicity for yourself, they all come out the same.
Well, and that's how come, like, I mean, not that we're going to rag on the show or anything like that, but, like, Nina Flowers, I absolutely adore her because she changes her look. She does not look the same all the time. She changes her look. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she, to me, is what I look up to as iconic, because you have branded yourself, but you keep yourself changing and going with the times and keeping yourself always on point so that everybody's like, okay, what is this bitch going to bring out next? You know, if you bring out the same titty shaking, butt shaking, dropping it, same blonde mohawk wig, same turnaround and lip sync, you're going to be able to be predictable, you know? And that's how come I, like, in my performances, nobody ever knows what they're going to get. Honestly. Yeah. I mean, you guys have seen me perform. Oh, yeah. You never know. If you go on YouTube and you YouTube my name, you'll see there's times that there was one time that I actually literally pulled off my whole top and I was in a harness and big old hairy man boobs are out there and I'm shaking them, you know? There's a time where I have a strap-on dildo hooked up to me, and this is where I was told I couldn't do this performance anymore. And, you know, Santa Claus sat there, and I gave Santa Claus head on stage to a dildo, but, you know, it's just always shock factor. For me, drag has always been about the performance. Mm. I don't want to see as an individual going and watching a show and just seeing somebody lip sync to a song that I could do in my shower. You know, I want to see a performance. I want to see you entertain me. Mm-hmm. And that's how come I got into doing drag, is because of the entertainment and because I didn't want to be in that cookie cutter and that mold like everybody has done. And, you know, there was even a pageant recently that I wanted to enter and I was like, I can't enter it because I have a beard. I mean, I could, but I'm going to be, why waste my time and my money? Because I'm going to be number last, you know? And they're like, well, just shave. And I was like, I don't want to.
That defeats the purpose.
Exactly.
It's against my mantra. Well, you keep mentioning that for you, it's about the performance and the shock factor. So would it be fair to say that you're very transgressive? Like, not in the sense where it's meant to offend, it's supposed to just push you out of your sensibilities. Like, when you sit down to see a drag performance, you know you're either going to laugh, you're going to hopefully resonate with a song and the way they perform the song, or, you know, like, their aesthetic look. Mm-hmm. And so for you, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's an amalgamation of all of those things, but the main idea is, why is this so shocking to you? Like, what is it about me?
For me, it's that shock factor of, what's that saying, go large or go home. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm all about the costuming. Okay. I'll listen to a song and I'll be like, okay, what does that song say to me? What does it mean to me? And then I exaggerate it.
Okay.
You know, like, perfect examples, I have this one number, I have Katy Perry's Roar, and everybody knows that song, and it's a very simple song, but I come out and I'm in a full tiger's outfit, and then when I open it up, I have a cape that I open up and it has tiger's eyes, but in the lower part of the bodysuit, it's all black, so literally when I open it, it looks like a tiger's face. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a number that I did, Heads Will Roll, where I take off...
The Yeah Yeah Yes?
Yeah, by the Yeah Yeah Yes. Yes. Yes, okay. Yes. Love that song. Mm-hmm. And when I hear that, I hear the Queen of Hearts. And so I'm in a full Queen of Hearts outfit, and I have heads that are all the way around my body, and I take them off and I roll them down. You know, so for me, it's about costuming. It's dress-up playtime for me, you know. And it's, I have the ability to entertain people, make a couple dollars to go get me some, you know, McDonald's afterwards and go home.
Or some cupcakes.
Or some cupcakes. Or
that then get placed strategically over your body for a photo shoot.
Oh, no.
Why you gotta call me out like that?
Can I use
Why
that as the album mark? Can we find that photo?
Actually, I have that photo. I have that photo, yeah, where I
from,
was like...
From our listener, Jay Jose. He's actually one of our...
I remember he sat there and he was just like, pose. And I was like, okay, and I was just posing. And, you know, I wasn't in drag and everything. And I'd actually just gotten out of drag. And I saw cupcakes sitting over there. I was like, hold on. And so I went and I ripped my shirt off. I put them right on my nipples and I was laying down and then I was eating them. And I felt totally like Kate Winslet in the Titanic.
At some point, I may have turned around and started becoming the artistic director of the photo shoot.
Yes. Yes, you were. You're like, put your arm up here. Put your leg up here. Wait, this cupcake's tilted. You know. Control issues.
Listen, that's why they don't. That's why they don't hire me anymore. Out of
I would hire you anywhere because when I hosted Lips's shower to her husband, you did an amazing job. Well, just an FYI.
We like to help support each other because Beyonce and the lovely Lady Lips came and did. Helped out at one of the events that I put on. Actually, two in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
We had our Sawmill event, and that was the first time that we worked together. And you guys did Skag Race at Sawmill, which when you're doing it for a bare weekend out in the woods, where you know you don't have any other kind of market coming to it, this is what's going to be there. And you've got these two drag queens, you know, Pageant Queen and Skag Drag, and they're doing, you know, they did their trivia game. Okay, cool. Not a big deal. That's kind of normal for over there. And then we did Skag Race. I think originally people were like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Exactly.
At the end of it all, I had so many people come up and go, that was so much fun. So we turned around and we brought it to Parliament House and we did at Fergasm back in July.
Yeah, and I would just like to say that you know that I love you. If I waited for that rain, that monsoon cloud to stop.
Oh, I just love that you were like, what's our contingency plan if it rains? I'm like, we ain't got one. No. It happens or it doesn't.
We wait. I'm like, bitch, throw on some Rihanna, give me an umbrella, and I'll go out there and I'm good to go.
But that was where, that was one of the times that Heads Will Roll was performed, and we learned never have a fan in front of the stage pointed at the stage.
Yeah, for Beyonce to do Heads Will Roll, because there's a part where glitter is blown out. And when there is a fan directly across from you, it comes back and sticks to your face and enters your mouth. And then literally the term of shitting glitter is true.
Yeah. Just
letting you know.
Oh, my God. I remember that now. I'd forgotten. Oh, you look like a hot, glittery mess.
Oh, my God. That was horrible. Horrible, but hey, show will go on.
So Beyonce is your favorite performer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are your inspirations, like in drag or out of drag, besides Beyonce?
Okay, literally, and I know this is going to sound total cliche, but my mom.
Like
going back to, I would like to thank my mother. Mm-hmm. I would like to thank my agent and you know, first and most of all, Jesus. But no, my mom really is the first thing I go. My mom and my sister, because just I love the big hair, I love the big look, and you know, so I go there. But in and out of drag, Julia Roberts, absolutely love her, and she's like my icon. In drag, I honestly would say every single performer that I've ever seen, because they each have brought something different.
Okay.
And
thank you, Miss Congeniality.
Yes. But no, seriously, like I, you know, there may be somebody that I sit there and go, oh my God, I absolutely love them, but I'll love somebody else at the same time, you know, and I look up to everybody because it takes balls to do what we do. You know, whether you are a full drag queen, whether you are transgendered, whether you're, you know, whatever, it takes balls to get up and perform in front of somebody. You know, I remember there was one performance that I saw, and the entertainer had broke their leg the day before or something, and that bitch came out, carried out on a couch, and did her performance right on the couch on the stage. And I was like, yes, ma'am.
Who's your drag mother?
I technically don't have a drag mother, okay, if you want to say. My best friend, which is Lady Lips's husband, was our momager, if you want to say, because we said that he was like our mom and our manager at the same time. And he used to do my makeup and do Lips's makeup. And I just sat there and I was just like, I'm going to start doing my own makeup because this is just too much for you, you know, to get two queens ready for one show on the same day. Because Lady Lips and I have our own production company of Lips and Hips Production.
Nice.
So, because you can't have lips without hips. So, you know. And so I started doing my own. So, really, I learned myself watching a lot of YouTube. I would say my drag sister of forever will be the lovely Lady Lips.
And have you like brought any young draglings into the world? Have you, you know, sired any new queens?
No.
I like they're vampires.
Yes, I don't know. Do you drink their blood? What's
We bring them into the back room. And we strap them down in tuck tape, and then throw some glitter on them, and then you know they're ready. No, I don't. I honestly don't want any little draglings. Taking care of myself is enough.
Yeah,
you know it really is. It really is. I don't want kids as a boy, and I don't want kids as a drag queen. Plus, also, then they might steal my spotlight.
Well, you are your own supreme.
Exactly. I'd have to go total Joan Crawford on that little Christina bitch.
With your name being Beyonce Bear, and you having a very close kinship with, you know, Bearyoke and Bears in the City. Mm-hmm. Would you say that your demographic, most of your fan base are bears, or is there a nice like cross section of people who are just like, I like this?
I actually have a really good fan base that is just everybody that I meet, just because even though I do a lot of the bear events, because I've been, that's my little niche, you know, I really have a lot of, I actually have a lot of lesbian fans, like ton of them. And
they're jealous because of the beard.
I was just about to say, I think it's because they want my beard.
Girl,
you know?
Just dream.
But you know, I have a really good cross. I have a really good mix, and which I'm happy about because I don't want to be pigeonholed. I don't want to be, you know, and I love everybody, and I love that when they come out that they can just have a good time, you know? I don't take it too seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, half the time I don't even tuck, you know? And I'm in a full-on tight leotard, but I'm just like, screw it, you know? I'm like, if they don't love my 70s bump, you know, then oh well.
Oh, nice. I know you perform mostly in the sort of Ocala and Leesburg and then I guess Sawmill, Dade City area.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of regular fans at the Copa or Sawmill?
Oh, yeah.
And that you see all the time?
I see all the time.
And are any of them like, you can just tell that when they see you, they just light up, they're super devoted? you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, like, honestly, whenever we go to the Copa or whatever, and Sawmill, the regulars that I see, it's like they're always happy to see me. And they just come up and they're like, what can I get you? Do you need anything? And I'm just like, no, honey, I got this. I'm good. You know, but I love when somebody comes up to tip me or not tip me, that they just have that smile on their face. Like, that is the best thing that I can get. You know, I hate looking at any performance that I'm in or not in and just watching people sit there.
Just dead face.
Yeah. With that bitch face, you know, with that face that's just like, you know, they're sitting there and it's closed and you're like, honey, wake up. You know, I hate that. I'm like, smile. It doesn't hurt. But,
especially with what you do, like, I've been to drag shows where I'm sitting there like that, but it's because they're just, you know, they're lip syncing, they're doing their routine, and it's just kind of like, okay, that's awesome. But what you do and the songs that you choose and the things that you, like, all of it should elicit some reaction, whether it's horror or it's disgust, which you've had, I guess, with the Santa Claus thing, or it's just like pure joy at the audacity. I mean, every time I've seen you, that I think that's the biggest reaction I have, is it's like that joy of just, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's doing this. This is fabulous. This is so cool. Such a fun take on this.
Well,
you know,
thank you.
So I mean, but I'm surprised people would have no reaction to your performance compared to somebody else, again, who's just doing kind of the more standard drag.
Right.
Well, I wonder if that's going back to kind of the difference in what you do versus other people. You've got the theatricality, which regardless should elicit a response, but I wonder if the people who really kind of are so closed off are the fans of that pageant queen.
Right.
And they want their drag queens to be pretty and to come out and to be a woman and to do all that. So when they see you come out and you perform, you know, it transcends drag into theater.
Right.
You know, like you said, the costuming, the song choice, the performances, it all basically equates to a theater performance. Like, if you were going to go see a musical or a show or anything like that, that's what you get with your performances. But when you've got people, and I mean, you know, I've been to a couple of shows, and honestly, the shows that I've seen, you really don't have a lot of those people, especially at places like Sawmill.
Right.
And just kind of the feel that I got when I was up at the Copa. But if you were to be at an event where it's kind of, it's something new and something different, you know, you're going to have those people that come out and they're like, well, you know, you're not like Sassy Divine and, you know, gorgeous and huge tits and, you know, I think you're a woman when you come out. So I wonder if that's really kind of that. And there is no breaking through to them.
Yeah. And that's one thing that when I started doing drag is I didn't want to be into that pigeonhole, you know, because to me, like I said, drag has always been about entertainment. It always has been about entertainment to me. And I remember the first time I ever saw Danielle Hunter, and she came out on stage and she ripped off her cover up, and I was like, oh my God, her tits. Her, you know, everything is out there. I was just like, okay, honey, work it, you know? And so I think that going back to what we were talking about earlier about like pageant queens and everything, and going back also to RuPaul's Drag Race, if you look back, a lot of the drag queens that have been on that show, whether they've won or not, are from Florida. And Florida has a very, very strong pageant-based drag community.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so everybody is used to, especially in this area, is used to that pretty, like you were saying, looking like a woman. The going back to me, since, you know, it's me being interviewed here, I used to wear a cover up. I used to wear a nude bodysuit. And it was so funny how when I stopped wearing the bodysuit, how I actually got more people telling me that they enjoy me more.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it's like full hair. I mean, I'm like a rug, you know, not like a shag rug, but you know, I'm yeah, no, I'm hair head to toe, but, they enjoyed it more. And I think it just goes back to, I've broken a mold that in this area, I have not seen anybody do.
Now, let me ask, 'cause you enjoy a very successful career in hair.
Mm-hmm.
Besides doing it, I know that you go and you teach and you do these seminars and all of that. How has your drag life influenced, affected, or kind of made an impact in your kind of, you know, dare I say, real life?
In my career?
Yeah.
In my career?
Which is a really good question, because Chantel Roche said, I will never do drag like completely 100% full time.
Right.
Because she's like, it's expensive. You end up putting a lot of effort, time, and money into it, and you may not get a return on your investment.
You are 100%. She was 100% correct, because I listened to her podcast the whole 2 hours. And love you, Chantel. I actually remember seeing Chantel perform way back in the day too, and I loved her as well. You know, but anyways, really, it doesn't, because my career always takes top priority. That's what pays my bills. That's what keeps the roof over my head, keeps me driving in my car, and lets me go on great vacations. So I
got the money, bitch.
Well, I say I got the money, but you know, it lets me have those things. And drag is kind of like on my days off, but even though it's actually harder than what I actually do for work, it has impacted the way I do hair, because my clients are getting a lot bigger hair these days. I will say that, because I'm just like, honey, I'm like, no more flat ironing. We're doing big curls and, you know, fullness and stuff. And they're like, okay.
The bigger the hair, the closer to God.
Exactly. But actually, I talked to my clients about me doing drag, and I actually have several clients that come and see me.
Well, that was kind of what I was wondering, because, yeah. I mean, you're up in the USIS Ocala area, yeah. Well, you know, ish. So I know that it's not, I mean, it's not like you're not in New York City where you could potentially not.
You would be surprised, Pat, at how many gay folks live in Lake County.
Oh, no, but that's what I mean. Like, you have a...
I've slept with a couple. Shout out to...
Oh, my. Altie.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering, is that, you know, kind of being... It's not like New York City where
right. You've
got this huge, immense gay community where you could know people on this side but not know people on this side, where it is a larger gay community but it's a smaller area.
Uh-huh.
So there's that overlap, and I was kind of wondering if you had a lot of people that maybe your clients who didn't know about your drag career, you get them to come out and vice versa, like, oh, hey, well, you know, you were great performing,
right?
You know, and then somehow in just chatting with them, you know, they're like, oh, I need, you know, it turns into you getting more clients for your actual, you know...
Getting more clients, no, I wouldn't say that. But my clients, just every time they come in, they're like, are you going to do a show? I actually have two girls that come in. They come in together. And whenever, you know, being part of the Sawmill Divas cast, whenever I go to Sawmill and I come back, they, like, always ask me for all the stories that happen there. And, you know, I just say it's a great place that, you know, you can go and sit by the pool and get a cocktail and see a show. I don't go into depth on here. You know, but I tell them about all the stories that happen there, and they just absolutely, it's like they live through me. And so then when I, you know, started performing there, they were just like, oh my God, we have to go. So actually, it's like I'm bringing other businesses business. Because I'm able to be like, well, you need to come see me perform. And I guilt trip them. And I'll even give them I'll take 20% off of your service if you come see me perform. Just because I want to support the places that I'm performing in, because without there, I wouldn't be able to go.
Pat brought up a good point, because you kind of bounce around like the area around Central Florida, mm-hmm. not necessarily Central Florida itself.
Right.
Which we are located in Orlando, everybody. What is it like performing in, I don't want to call them rural, because
in the woods, in the country?
I'm a city mouse.
Yes.
And so, like, I mean, anytime I've ever gone out to, like, Leesburg or right. to Barry's, like, you get this, like, shift that people who live in Orlando and never really, like, drive anywhere outside of the surrounding uh-huh. area don't get. So, like, what is that dynamic like?
Well, I completely understand what you mean, because when I first moved out to Lake County, I was like, oh my God, it's so cute out here. And then 6 months later, I was like, where is that razor blade? I need it right now. But performing out in there, it's really, it's a lot of fun, because there's not that, well, I mean, in every community, gay, straight, whatever, but, and in every club, you always have to look your best, and you always have to, you know, be on point with, and I'm talking about the guests that come. Mm. You still have that there, but there's still this, just union of, because you're in a smaller city or a region or whatever you want to call it, that it's still, everybody loves each other, if you want to say. Mm. You know, it's like, even though I hate you, bitch, you stole my boyfriend that everybody else in this town has had, you know. But in Orlando, everybody can kind of get lost. You know, you can disappear and then reappear as somebody else, where in Ocala, you disappear for 5 minutes and people are like, oh my God, they're dead.
Yeah.
You know? And so working in a place like that, it's great because you get your true devoted fans that when you perform, they come and see you, you know, no matter what.
And I would imagine that it's very liberating as well, because there a lot of the trappings that come with working at like bigger venues with, you know, this is X night, and on X night we only want these performers and we only play this music.
Right.
And, you know, that's not what we're going for today. You're like, oh, well, you know, yes, we have a theme night, but if you want to throw in some Cheryl Lynn, you know, instead of Missy, that's fine.
Right.
So is it that way at all?
I mean, it definitely is. It definitely is. Like, I can say when I did work for Orgasm that I was a little intimidated. Mm-hmm. Just because I know what the community is like here, and I know what the image is. When I worked that event, and when I walked into the nightclub, and I just had people coming up to me, and they were like, we love you, you're fabulous, blah, 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 blah. And I had one of the bartenders, they were like, yes, ma'am, bring it. You know, I was just like, okay, this is great. That was liberating. Mm. But then going back to my home bars that I work in, it's very liberating, because you don't have to worry about being judged. For me. You know, I don't feel I've ever been judged by anybody that I've worked with in either of the bars that I frequently work at. So it is liberating, because you kind of just literally get to let your hair down.
Mm-hmm.
So can we, from now on, can we paraphrase Dolly Parton and call you the Backwoods Barbie?
Sure. Go for it.
I like it.
Go for it. I like that. I like that. I like that.
I've been waiting this whole, like, 5 minutes of this conversation to throw that in there.
He's like, oh, my God. He's like, it's in my head. I've got to say it somewhere.
I'm like, let's not get out of the whole Ocala part of this.
Well, you know, and I love working with Pat and Brian and stuff with Bears in the City, because you guys just really are, you know, you just are a lot of fun. You're just like, do whatever you got to do. This is our theme. You put it together.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's my biggest thing, especially when we did Bears in the Wild out at Sawmill about a year ago. When you agreed to be a part of it with Lips, my biggest thing was, hey, this is what I want. I want two game shows. It's going to be this time frame. It's going to be this time frame.
Exactly.
Drag it up, you know, make it, take a look at it, and then expand into this big production. And that's what you guys did. You know, Are You Smarter Than a Drag Queen? You know, and then the Skag Race. If I hadn't gotten so much positive feedback from that, you know, I wouldn't have turned around and then, you know, months later said, okay, well, we're going to do this event in July.
Right.
You know, I want to do this. And I'm going to have Kendall in town.
Right.
Kendall Kelly performed at the event as well. And it was like, hey, let's do the same thing. And then, you know, we tweaked it a little bit, modified it, and, you know, again, had to kind of streamline it compared to what it was originally. Partially for time constraints, and partially for the fact that it was a monsoon until about 10:30 at night.
Were you there that night?
No.
Oh, honey, let me tell you. First off, I just want to elaborate on this really quick. So I get there to the room, because Pat was gracious enough to get us a room to get ready and then stay there for the night. And I'm like, it's not going to rain. I'm looking at these clouds rolling, and I'm like, shit. And I see the stage, and I'm like, it's not covered.
Nope.
Oh, shit. Well, it opened up for hours.
From about 5 o'clock in the evening.
Until 11 o'clock, because we went on at 11:10.
12.
Oh, we went on at 12?
Yeah.
That's right, because you had to dry off the stage.
Yes, yeah, so we had to dry off the entire courtyard of the Parliament House. Entire, walking team was, like, out there with a big-ass squeegee.
But I would say there was, 150 people outside or so?
Yeah.
Right?
It was a huge attendance for an event that was supposed to go from 8 until 2 that my vendors weren't able to set up until about 10:30.
Yeah.
Because around 10 o'clock is when it finally had stopped raining. And that's when the groundskeeping crews were able to come out. Like, it's a baseball game. Yeah. <You know? laughs> They were getting the tarps off the field.
I'm over in the corner buying pennants from a booth.
The vendors set up, and then it was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then Beyonce and Lips were like, they started walking around, kind of interacting with the crowd, getting people ready to be involved. We had gotten some people that were set up ahead of time,
right?
But we still needed more contestants for Skag Race. But it was, I think, about midnight, because then you guys went until about 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was about 1:15 when Kendall hit the stage.
That's right.
So, yeah, we basically packed a, 6-hour event into 2.5 hours?
2.5 hours? Yeah. She had me working. Working. And I would just like to say, this is how much I love him. Not only did I have glitter in my face, I busted my knee wide open when I dropped down to the stage. Okay? Just saying that. Just saying that.
You mentioned Skag Race, but I don't think... Again, we know about Skag now, but talk about what Skag Race is, isn't it, as a contest?
Well, I don't want to give away all the secrets of that, because then other people might want to take this out. We want to take this on the road.
Honey, is this your idea originally?
Huh?
No one had done Skag Race before you?
I have never seen it.
And sometimes if you have never seen it, it ain't never happened.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, honey.
But there is audience participation.
There is audience participation in it, that they have to come up and they have to wind up entertaining us.
Exactly.
With props that they are handed.
It is a lot of fun. I've seen it now, I guess, just once. But I've seen pictures of the time you did it at Sawmill. And every time, you can tell, not only do the people, the audience, they love it, but the people who are brought up on stage, the participants, they really get into it, surprisingly so.
The contestant that won at Fergasm, I remember he got into it.
He was breaking it down.
He dropped it into a split and everything. I was like, okay. I was like, you worked it.
At the end of it, he still was like, I can't believe you made me do that.
It was hilarious. And, I remember that night, what really felt awesome was the manager of
Tim.
And I remember when I was sitting down with him and we were talking, he was just like, I would just like to thank you for bringing something different. Yeah. Which is what I strive for, and Lips is the same way. She strives to bring something different. She's more comedy. She is not more humor. She is comedy, but her husband, they just got married the 5th of October.
Y'all just throwing
I married them in the state of New York because I was ordained.
Oh!
So I'm now Reverend Anthony Kiyaki, he mixes all this music for him, and he does it so easily, and he mixes it up for Lips to do, and so it's comedy, but there's always a twist in there. He did this Paula Deen skit. He did this Girl's on Fire, but brought out this other song where this woman was found on YouTube talking about how it was like 9,000 degrees in her house.
Oh, yes.
She, and so her comedy is more along the lines of the entertaining comedy. It's not just going up there and doing something silly.
It's shocking comedy.
It's shocking.
Yeah, well, what was the song with Tourette's?
The Tourette's song.
The Tourette's song? My God. These words. That is actually one of my favorite songs. But, Lips really helped me grow. I will say Lips gave me my name.
Oh, okay.
She kind of put it together. Like, we were talking, and I was just like, I love Beyonce. And she's like, you're Beyonce. I was like, okay, yeah, there we go. Lips gave me my name. And, we work really, really well together. And, I give a shout out to her every single time, because really without her, there would be a me, but it would be very hard.
Mm-hmm.
It would, because we just go hand in hand.
You don't see a lot of drag
partnerships like you two have that I've seen. I mean, right. I know there are some, of course, most famously, I guess, Alaska and Sharon, but like you just don't see them very often.
Right.
And so you're really, it is really kind of cool.
Well, no, I mean, Alaska and Sharon, it's a little different because they're partners.
Yeah. Well, right. True.
So when you're, you know, a couple and you're both drag queens, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, obviously, you have Lips and Hips Productions. We've had Chrysanthemum and Eureka Fish have kind of developed that. And we're seeing that more. I think it's more in the comedy, on the comedy queen side of it.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because it's not as cutthroat.
Exactly.
Because when you're a pageant queen, you're used to them bitches trying to steal your wig
or
fuck up your outfit.
Give you pink eye.
But if you're not funny, you're just not funny. That's not on them stealing anything, bitch. You just unfunny.
Well, yeah. I think that's a little bit more. There's more of a sisterhood.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's more of the fact of that, you know, I would defend Lips to the death, you know, because I know what we do. I know who we are. I know how honest we are. I know how we don't attack. We really don't. You know, if you want to come out as a booger, as they say, and do booger drag, go for it. You want to be a boy in a dress, go for it. You want to be, you know, a pageant queen, go for it. There's no judgment. And that's what I love about Lips and I. And, you know, it also helps that, you know, his husband is my best friend of 20 years. So, you know.
We have to ask this because it's one of those things, being that we're from a geeky sort of show and on a geeky network.
They're not just talking about Marvel.
No. But specifically, Beyonce, do you have any geeky influence? Or do you, or even currently, or younger, were there any things about your hobbies that were sort of on the geeky side that our fans might enjoy to hear about?
On the geeky side? My man, Lance, he's my pure nerd. He's the one that, you know, when I'm just like, honey, how do you spell this? He spells it for me. And, you know, honey, how do you put this together? He puts it together for me. So because he's my hobby and, you know, I play with him a lot, I'm saying he's my geeky side. But
aww.
No, I mean, I really live a boring life. Huh. Like, really, I do. I mean, I travel a lot, but I work a lot. And my downtime is watching TV. And my number one show that I absolutely love is Honey Boo Boo.
Oh,
you know, so we're at whatever category you want to throw that in, whether it be
has its own kind of a bizarre, you know, geeky.
But I mean, I do love, you know, I love cartoons of like that. I do love the X-Men. I will say,
okay,
X-Men.
Who's your favorite? Pick one that you think is you.
My favorite, which is me, Storm.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
You're an African goddess. Got it.
The African goddess. Exactly. Because deep down inside, I know that I am a black woman trapped in a fat white man's body.
Well, isn't the old saying that inside of every gay man is a big black woman just waiting to come out?
You know what? But I am the supreme of that. I am the one. I know that she is in there. I know it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When I sit there, I look in the mirror, I'm just like, come out. Come out. So I'm just waiting for all the melanin in my skin to kick in.
Walk us through your routine for getting ready. Walk us through your process. So you wake up, you have like a lovely brunch.
Like the day of, you
yes,
mean?
Yes.
Like the day of? Okay, so usually I wake up and I go, oh God, it's that day. Like seriously, I go, oh shit. Because I'm very organized. So the night before, I've already packed everything. Everything is in my suitcases. And I say cases because I have three. They're in my car and ready to go. So I wake up. I go, okay. So on repeat are the songs that I'm performing that night. And they play the whole day. I go, I have breakfast. If it's breakfast time, I have lunch, whatever. Depending on the venue that I'm performing at. If it's at the Copa, I am usually up at Lips's and JT's house and we're waking up from drinking the night before. And so I'm just like, okay, we need to get this sweat coming out of my pores off my skin. And then we just go and we just get ready. Like start, you know, it takes us a good 4.5 hours to become Beyonce. Because first I glued down my eyebrows, you know, and got to let that dry. And then I put another layer, then another layer, another layer. And then I start my face. But I have to be in that zone. Mm-hmm. I have to be there because I've done it to where I haven't been in the zone. And it showed. It was very quick makeup. Basically, like, makeup that I don't wear. It was just some eyeshadow, some lipstick, some blush, and I was ready. Just because I wasn't feeling it that day. But getting ready on a day is very taxing because I'm a perfectionist.
That's a really interesting point to make. Like, it takes you about 4 to 4.5 hours because, you know, from an outsider's perspective looking in, you're just like, you know, I don't shave, I don't do this, I don't tuck. And so people may assume that messy doesn't mean polished.
Right.
And, you know, you are a performer, you book multiple events, you're running here, you're running there, you're running everywhere. And, you know, it's a product that you put out. Dolly Parton says, it takes a lot of money to look this cheap.
Exactly.
And, you know, you when you want to have a certain aesthetic, it takes a while for you to, one, get that aesthetic down.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you got that, you have to duplicate it. And it's not a short process at all.
No. It's not a short process. And what I always stay in my mind the day that I'm getting ready is, and it's my little tag, if you want to say, I'm the beauty of the beast rolled into a pair of fancy high heels. Okay. So it's like, I'm constantly looking at myself in the mirror and I'm going, okay, what can I make different than my last performance? Because I don't want the same makeup every single time. So that's where the time frame comes in, because even though I have a beard, I actually still have to color in my beard that day. You know, I take mascara and I go over it, and it's like a half a tube of mascara to cover my full beard so that my beard stands out. You know, and I've been asked a lot of times, well, are you a sister? Because I have a beard and I do face.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not part of that. And I commend them because of the charity that they do. I just don't have that time and ability to join an organization like that. I'm drag. They are charity, and, you know, however they are perceived, that's them. But I am an entertainer. And so getting ready, it really takes a while. It's you have to be in that zone, because if you're not, it's going to show.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely going to show.
What is that hardest part of drag? What's like, you know, like if in comedy when you lose a room, like how do you get that room back? Is that the most difficult part of drag? Because that's what I would assume.
Yeah. It is the most difficult part when you are before the performance, when you're in the back room and you're unpacking all of your stuff and you know you put something somewhere and you did put it in there in your head and you realize that you don't have that accessory or whatever, you're like, oh shit. But then when you go out and you go to perform and it's a dead crowd and there's 5 people standing there, that's where it's very hard, because it's easier to perform for a multitude of people than it is for 5, because there's more interaction and you can bounce off of people. It's the energy that you get out there. So, and I've done that. I've walked out into perform and there was, you know, 20 people there. You know, and I just said, all right, just do your best and entertain them. Pick them out and entertain them. So it's very taxing energy-wise. It drains you. Like, when I perform the next day, I'm done. Don't bother me. Don't call me. I can't do a damn thing. Because not just the getting ready, but the energy that it takes from you is tiring. So, you know, is it worth it? Yes, because of the entertainment. And, you know, we all love to be in a spotlight. So when...
Woo-hoo.
Exactly. All right, Miss Jennifer.
I really need her to put out a new album instead of just, God damn it, girl, get off the Jenny Craig. Yes, you lost all the weight.
Exactly.
But yet you gotta sing again.
I actually wanted to do a number to that song and have a apparatus going up my back with a huge spotlight down on me. But I couldn't figure out how to get the power to it without having extension cord behind me. So, yeah. But, you know, it's great. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I really enjoyed performing and entertaining.
So let's just say somebody in this room was interested in possibly going into the world of drag?
Maybe just, you know, just this, you know, to dip a toe in.
Uh-huh.
Just to see what,
girl, you got to at least put your foot in.
Yeah, you can't just dip a toe.
Well, no, like a coquette.
Lipstick.
Little.
Lipstick is the toe.
Wait, you don't do drag?
No, I don't.
Wait, is Oral your real name?
Oh, no.
Oh, shit, girl, for real?
Yeah. O-R-A-L.
You are a liar.
No.
Lies.
Wallet, hold up.
Is it for real?
Here comes the ID.
I thought that there was a drag name in there. Okay,
there is,
honey,
a drag name in there somewhere, but
exactly.
His drag name is Dita Ritz. We understand this. Oh,
you know what?
Someday.
I love Dita Ritz. I do. And I can see by our cadence how we can be likened to each other. However, I am not Dita Ritz.
Someday the truth will come out.
So let's just say somebody in this room,
okay,
possibly might be interested in dipping their foot into the drag world.
Okay.
What would be your greatest advice to them?
My greatest advice to them.
You,
would seriously be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let anybody influence the way that you want to be perceived. There are a lot of people out there that we've actually talked a lot about during this segment that I hope I don't get like strung up to a cross for saying things that I said, but
no, you've been very diplomatic.
Okay. No, I'm just making sure, you know, don't want to make any enemies, but honestly, there's a lot of people out there that are like, you have to look this way to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I've made it, but I've made an impression. And that's, if you were to go and you were to do drag, I would want you to make an impression that lasts. That when I thought about whatever your drag name is going to be, I knew who you were.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a name that I was just like, wait, what did she perform again? You know, what was that performance? That I could be like, oh, you should see this one because this is what this one, da 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 da.
Okay.
You know, that would be my best advice, is be true to yourself and never let anybody influence the way you want to be perceived. That was like a Hallmark card, wasn't it?
It was.
Thank you for that cherished moment.
Yes.
Now I want to get down to the dirt.
Okay.
We'll do it blonde item style.
Okay.
Okay, so in all of your years of doing drag, what is the one thing that sticks out in your mind as one of the shadiest, like, straight up, girl, you were wrong for that moment? Because we all know people steal shoes,
mm-hmm,
people steal wigs, people will misplace your music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that all of that happens all the time.
Uh-huh.
I just want to know a time that it actually happened. And you don't have to use names.
Right.
You don't have to just say a venue where a certain drag queen,
uh-huh,
and go from there.
Like, really? I
Miss Congeniality, too.
I know.
I will be Wanda Sykes, and I will get your ass out.
I have been in some places,
mm-hmm,
that, and I wasn't even performing, okay? But I was able to go in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw somebody deliberately take an outfit and hide it. And I was like, oh no. Oh no, 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 no. I didn't run and tell this person that their outfit was hidden. But when they went in the back room, I went back there, was helping them look for it, and found it.
Mm. See, once again, diplomatic.
Yes.
Diplomatic.
Yes, because I hate the shade. I do.
Mm.
But if I see it, I will do what I can to reverse it and make it better.
So. And that's what makes you a great person.
And thank like
you.
A superhero.
Yeah, exactly.
Way to try to shoehorn the
day. But it's true, right?
You're just, yes, yes, yes. You saved the day.
Yay!
Who would get Jared to do Beyonce as a superhero? I kind of like that idea a lot.
That would be fun.
Maybe Jared, we'll just, who's working like 13-hour shift today.
You know, once he gets a good idea, though, he's crazy. Yeah, like a storm influence thing. Oh, man, that could be good. Anyway.
Okay. I've also saw somebody that stole makeup.
Was it good or was it Madonna's hard candy?
No, honey, it was the good shit.
Oh, no.
It was the good shit. It was the good shit. And that, I was like, here, use mine. You know, even though this did happen to me, I don't know if it was done accidentally or if it was the truth, or if it happened to be malicious towards me or the other people that were with me. There was a place that I had hung my clothes, and you know, being a big girl, my stuff weighs a little bit more than you know the skinny girl does, and the rack broke. If you would say, you know, and my necklace was completely broken and I was apologized to. And now that I know how it fell, I think it actually was an accident, but I think that there was a certain little somebody out there that was trying to sabotage me.
You know, you said earlier that, you know, when things go south, you know, it's that energy and that love of performing that, like, pulls you through that. Is right. that the same when, like, there are actual forces out against you? Do you feel like Willow, where you're, like, trying to save the baby, and the baby is, like, performance in theater, and you gotta hide it under the, like, mantle, and...
Do we really just reference Willow?
Did you seriously just go there with Willow?
I know.
Because at first I thought you were talking about Willow from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's what I thought. But then I realized that you were going to the movie with the little dwarf. And yeah.
Oh my God.
You know, I totally lost your question again because of Willow. All I see is magic wands now.
Yes.
I was saying that when you see, you know, people actively try to, like, bring others down.
Uh-huh.
Like, where do you still draw, like, that energy, that strength to persevere through your love of the craft? Or is it, like...
Oh, when I see somebody try to put somebody down, I instantly, like I said, I try to find the way to bring them up. Mm-hmm. I try to fix it. I'm a fixer. I am. I try to take care of everybody. I really do. But because I don't want that negative energy around me, I don't want that karma of, well, you saw that happen, so technically you are part of it. I will try to fix it so that my energy level stays up. You know, it is hard. I have worked with performers in the past that all they do is bitch and complain the whole time, especially when they have their dresser helping them and they're screaming at them. And I politely pull them to the side and say, you need to calm down. You need to concentrate right here. Look at me, bring it back. Okay, now go do what you have to do. Because your helper or your dresser, you do not want to piss off. Because they're the one that are running back to the car because you forgot your cha-cha heels in there and you need them for this next number. They're the one that are tying you up in your corset. They're the one that's dressing you because you've got long fingernails on. You don't want to piss them off because they can really screw you up. They could be like, bye-bye, and then you're done, you know.
My pearls, my dress, my ribbon.
Exactly. You know, I really believe that it's just... In the back room, there's so much tension because usually back rooms are closets when you're getting ready in them. You know, I remember before I started doing drag, I thought, wow, they must have like this big, huge Hollywood stage in the back getting ready with the lights and the makeup. And oh, no. The dressing room at like, I don't know, Kohl's is probably bigger than most places. Like, seriously, the dressing rooms are scary. Scary. And people are slobs. And it's like, clean up after yourself. Pick up after yourself.
I thought there were large counters.
No, honey. You don't have the hairstyles in the back, you know, all fluffing and pumping and all this other stuff. Well, there might be a fluffer back there, but, you know, that's a different type of venue. But it's not. It's scary. It really is. It's some of these rooms I've been in, I'm like, you've got to be sure. And it's usually hot as hell back there. You're usually sweating your ass off.
So question, like, do you just lay a full-on foundation? Because I run hot.
Uh-huh.
So do I just, like, powder from head to toe, try to, like, blend it in? Because if there's like a whisper on the wind of like it being
right
80,
right,
it's
I understand you because I'm a furnace.
Just,
yeah. Yeah, I'm a furnace. I completely understand. How I prevent it is I first put actually secret spray on my face.
Really?
Yep, because it's antiperspirant, so it actually helps lock down your pores.
See?
Yeah.
That's a mental note.
And then you go with your makeup application, and then at the end, I use a product Final Stage by a company called Ben Nye that is a menthol base that actually stimulates your follicles to shut completely down, and it puts a sealant over your face so you don't melt. So, and it feels good. It's refreshing. It really is. But usually always have a big fan with you. Flick that bitch open and start fanning yourself because it's hot. It's very hot.
Or a low suspense.
Right, Pat? Isn't it hot? Because weren't you just in face?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
You look gorgeous.
Oh. Yes.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You've got such a pretty face.
Yes, I have to thank my mama for that. We were talking about it because we were showing Beyonce the pictures in the office here, and we were looking at pictures of my parents' wedding from about 6 years ago. And I was like, okay, so now that you've seen that, oh, did you see the pictures of me? And we're cycling through them, and I'm like, this one. He's like, yep, just like your mom.
That's
in that
Mamacita
picture.
All the way. All the way.
Yeah, Stonewall had their, this is the second year they've done it. They did their turnabout event, which a lot of bars, or I guess like the bigger bars, will do a turnabout event. They'll tie it into a fundraiser, and they have the resident drag queens turn the other half of the entertainment, you know, department, and a lot of times the bartenders, because I believe the original purpose of turnabout at a bar would be the bartenders become the drag queens, and the drag queens take over as the bartenders. So basically, it's turning the tables on what your normal bar staff would be. Well, with us, some of the bartenders did participate in turnabout, and some of them actually bartended for the night in full geish-ish, because you know it was trailer trash turnabout, so a lot of them looked very interesting. Some of them looked downright like you would never think that they were a dude. Like they, you know, some of the bartenders actually really turned into lovely women. But I was very fortunate. I had asked the Divine Grace to do my makeup that night and told her what number I was going to perform, and she's like, I've got the perfect wig for that. So then I went to the Magic Mall and got myself a lovely dress and some accessories. And
at the Magic Mall, girl.
Girl, I was doing Kesha. I had to find a, you know.
Was it a magical experience?
Oh, it was something.
creating creativity from diversity type of thing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, my favorite part of the trip there was the fact that every single, like, dress shop had this big old sign, no refunds, no exchanges.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because as I was going up there, this little Asian woman was like, we sell one night wear. And they'd be trying to come back and bring this stuff back. That's why I don't do any refunds.
That's hilarious.
I said, okay, not a problem. Hilarious. I'll make sure I love it before I buy it. And I found a dress that was pretty damn awesome and got all that set. But, yeah, I had shaved because I was going to be doing the I'm doing the no shave November, you know. Mm. Let's see if I can actually grow a mustache.
That's not happening.
It's not yet. Yeah, I don't do a mustache well.
The beard is going to come in nice, though, I'm sure.
The goatee will be back. That's for damn sure.
If wishes were horses, I would have a full stable.
But it was definitely an interesting experience. It took Divine Grace about an hour to do my makeup. Mm-hmm. And the one thing, and this is so funny to be proud of, but her biggest like compliment was the fact that my face took makeup like no other one that she's done. She also did the makeup for Michael O'Quinn, who's the GM of Stonewall. And she's like, I kept on just having to put makeup down. She's like, with you, whoop. One little line, it's good to go.
Well, and that's true because, like, and I'm going to talk about my sis real quick. Lips. James has to do her foundation, like, 5 layers. Her face just absorbs the makeup. And so by you not absorbing makeup made Divine's life Oh yeah,
so easy.
I could only imagine if it had been a challenge for me to take makeup, that in the time frame, for the fact that it took an hour and we actually went into when this show had started, if there had been any other issues, I probably would not have come out looking the way that I did, because she wouldn't have had the time. So I thank Divine Grace for doing a wonderful job, because people were actually had to do double takes. And some, as they walked by me, did not even realize who I was.
Nice.
Until I got announced on stage and came up on stage. One of the guys that works at the bar later on goes, when I walked by you earlier and they were trying to, you know, point me in your direction, he's like, I was like, oh, who's this random tranny that came to watch the show? And then you got on stage and I was like, holy shit, that's Pat. So it was a pretty interesting experience. Not one that you know, I dipped a foot into that world.
You were like, and now I'm drying my foot off and it's done. But next year when you do it, how did you get the makeup off? How easy was it to get it off?
It wasn't horrible. We bought a big old tub of cold cream.
Do you want to know a little secret?
What's that?
Oil sheen.
See, they were saying...
Oil sheen. By Motions, honey, it is from girl to boy in 10 seconds flat.
I definitely...
Really?
Yes. Look at Earl over here.
He's making mental notes.
Making notes over there. He's got his little steno pad out.
But real quick, actually, I'm glad you guys brought that up, because I wanted to touch on this. I know that we're going to get ready to try to wrap this up, but we talked about this off the podcast. The oddest experience of this whole thing wasn't going into these places and having these Asian women, or I actually bought my dress from this black man, wasn't having to go buy a dress from them. The oddest and most uncomfortable experience I had in that entire 2 hours that it took me to go buy my dress and get all my shit together was going to Payless to buy shoes, because I had to try the shoes on, and I'm looking at these because I had this idea in my head of what kind of shoes I wanted, and I pretty much got the type of shoe I wanted.
Girl, is it a wedge?
No. I had heels. I'll show you the shoes.
Okay.
I couldn't wear the big heel because it was way too much for my calves.
Girl, what size are you?
11. They're women's 11.
11, not wide though.
No.
I'm up.
But going into Payless, and I was like, okay. So I went to like the middle of the store with these shoes, and I tried one on, and I'm like, okay, this fits all right. I'm like, I should probably try the other one on. And at that minute, I hear the door open, like the front door of the store open. I'm like, oh shit, I can't try these. I can't be this dude in my rage tees, Bear Hunters Club t-shirt, my khaki cargo shorts on, and heels in Payless. I'm like, I can't do this. I went up to the register and said, I like to buy both of these. I was like, I can't try them on in here. And the funniest part was that the girl at the counter was like, oh, we have it happen all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, then they've got... Then they obviously have a lot less shame than I do.
Oh, gosh. That's awesome. Well, Pat, Brian, thank you for everything as always. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to thank our special guest, Beyonce Bear. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you guys. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
And make sure that you check out Beyonce Bear on Facebook. And Lips and Hips Productions now have a fan page.
Yep, we have a fan page on Facebook. And then I also have Beyonce.com, Lips as Lady, Lovely Lady Lips.com.
And she just revamped her website.
Yeah, just revamped it. Mine's actually under construction as we speak. And then we're both on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. And Bear, depending on where you are, it's either B-E-A-R or B-A-R-E, because there's some other bitch out there that stole my name after I made my name. Oh. And I wasn't quick enough to get in the Bear. Mm. And so I'm like, it's okay. It's all right, honey. Ooh. So
is that the one that does Madonna as well?
Yeah, she lives out in California.
I think I've seen that bitch around.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, it's always been wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And with that, I don't know. We'll probably do another episode. Hopefully... Well, it won't take as long as this one did because I had to go out of town and have some fun. But with that, everyone, thank you for joining us. I love you all. We will be back. I don't know who our guests will be. I never knew who our guests will be. But hey, how's that different from anything else? Later.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.